Psachim, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Gimel 3:3. This Mishnah sets forth sort of a conundrum of what to do, and I'll present it actually as the conundrum before telling the answer that the Tanaim provide, and then you can think yourself how you'd solve the problem. A little bit of a game. The case is that it's the holiday of Pesach itself, Yarn Yom Tov, and you're kneading a batch of dough to make matzah. Now, I know that sounds inconceivable in the modern age, but that they did that in the time of the Mishnah. They are fearless. They made their matzah on Yom Tov, and they just made sure that they did it fast enough that it didn't become chametz. The problem is, if you are preparing a large batch of dough, so that dough would be chayev, obligated in the mitzvah of hafreshes chala, to separate what's called chala, a portion for the kohen. The basic details of that mitzvah, without getting too much right now, is if you're making a dough made of flour from the five grains, wheat, barley, oats, spelt, or rye, and the total volume of the flour in the dough is 43.2 beitzim, 43.2 eggs volume, whatever that comes out to be. So then there's a mitzvah to separate challah for the kohen. The challah has a status same as truma. It's actually referred to as truma in the pasuk, and therefore one can't make it tameh. If he does make it tameh, it has to be burned, and if it's tameh, it can be burned. And while the kohen could get benefit while it's being burned, he certainly may not eat it anymore. Kohenim can only eat truma and challah when it's Torah. So the case is you're making this big batch of dough. It's enough to be obligated in the mitzvah of challah. You and the dough, whatever the dough is, tameh. So now you have a problem. If you separate the portion of challah as you're supposed to from the dough, that portion of dough will become chametz over time, and you'll have chametz in your house. That's no good. If you want to destroy it, so that's no good, because you're not allowed to destroy kachem, truma, challah on Yom Tov. And if you say, well, let's just cook it, and then we can destroy it after Yom Tov, that will prevent it from becoming chametz, you can't do that either. Because while it is permitted to bake on Yom Tov, that's only what's called for ochel nefesh, for needs of the day, that is for cooking, etc. Don't know the final ochel nefesh right now, but anyways, so for food you're going to eat, you could cook and bake on Yom Tov, but food that's going to get burned and thrown away, you certainly may not bake on Yom Tov. So what do you do? Now, just to make sure this is clear, if we had have the question raised before we start the baking process, the solution would be very simple. Just don't make a batch of dough so big. Make two half batches, each one less than 43.2 eggs volume of flour, and then you've sidestepped the whole issue. You're not going to worry about having a fresh challah. But you didn't do that. You have a big batch of dough. It's obligated in challah, and the dough is tummy. So now what do you do? Question mark. You want to pause the recording? Think about what would you do, suggest is to be done. Here our Mishnah is going to have three separate approaches in the Tanaim. Each will have their issues with others. The first, so the Mishnah says inside, Ketid mafrishin challah batuma b'yom tov. How do you separate challah from a batch of dough if the dough is tameh and it's Yom Tov? So Rabbi Eliezer Omer, lo sikra l'shem ad she'te'afeh. Rabbi Eliezer says, listen, don't declare it to be challah. Literally, don't call it its name of challah, meaning don't separate challah or call it challah, until after you bake it. Meaning he says, listen, you got a lot of dough over here. You make yourself a dozen loaves of bread or whatever the story is. So put all dozen loaves in the oven, cook them all. Then take one of the loaves that you've baked, put all the loaves, technically put them back in a basket, and then for whatever reasons I don't get into right now, they'll go into a basket, and then you'll take one loaf, you take the smallest of those loaves, and declare that one to be the challah. Kohen can't eat it because it's tameh, but you don't need to burn it because it's not going to become chametz now. And after Yom Tov, you'll give it to a Kohen, and he can burn it, and if he wants to use it as a fuel source while he's burning it, more parah to him. So that's Rabbi Eliezer's elegant solution. The problem is Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseiah doesn't like that because it's turning out in the rearview mirror, lemafreya, you know, in retrospect, that you baked this loaf of bread and you didn't need to. It's a loaf of bread you weren't planning on eating. So you're really doing the prohibition of baking on Yom Tov, something that's not food for consumption. So Rabbi Eliezer isn't concerned about that because he says that at the time of the baking, it's not any one of the loaves were eligible for eating. Just after the fact, you decided to declare one of them to be challah. And more than that, you actually could have, each and every loaf could have been edible, just yet separate a little piece of each and every loaf as the challah portion. So he says that it's not a problem. Everything is eligible to be cooked and baked because you haven't declared anything to be challah yet. But Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra doesn't like that at all. He says, nope, since in retrospect, it will have been doing some baking of things that aren't food for eating, he forbids it. So instead he says, Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra Omer, tatil batsonen. He says, just put it in cold water. His thinking is that if you put raw dough in cold water, that will impede the leavening process, the chimutz. It won't come to become leaven, chametz, as long as you keep it nice and cold. Now, Rabbi Eliezer doesn't actually disagree with that. He says, in principle, it's true. If you keep the dough cold, it won't actually become leaven, and you could keep it in cold water under ice until the Yom Tov is over, and then after that, you can quickly destroy it, or whatever the story is, before it becomes chametz. The problem with that, according to Rabbi Eliezer, is it's like, you know, playing with fire. If you don't do it properly, if you're not careful and you let things get warm, so then it actually could become chametz. You don't have chametz in your house, and that's certainly no good. It's Pesach time. So therefore, Rabbi Eliezer prefers this first solution, but he actually would agree as second best to Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra's plan, meaning he says at the outset, first bake it all and then call it challah afterwards. But Rabbi Eliezer would say, listen, if you separated the dough and you called it challah, so now you've got a ticking time bomb in your hands. So don't let it turn to chametz. Instead, keep it in cold water, and that should be fine. Just make sure you keep on switching up the water every so often, keeping it nice and cold, so that the dough doesn't become chametz until after you're able to destroy it after Yom Tov. The third shita is Rabbi Yehoshua. Rabbi Yehoshua doesn't like the solutions that they provided, but he says it's not a big deal at all. Amr Rabbi Yehoshua, lo zehu chametz shemuzharim alav. Rabbi Yehoshua says the whole thing's not a problem because although it's true you can't have chametz on Pesach, the Torah is specifically talking about your chametz, not someone else's chametz. The pasuk says, "V'lo yira'e lecha chametz, v'lo yira'e lecha sa'or." You will not see for yourself chametz or sa'or, that, you know, leavening agent. But the understanding is the lecha means chametz shelcha. Your chametz is what you can't have. But if it's not yours, you could have it around, and it's not restricted. We discussed this a little bit briefly before when talking about non-Jews chametz in your home. We said that's, in the introduction, as I said, that's going to be permitted, assuming you don't have responsibility for it. So Rabbi Yehoshua says the same thing applies over here. Since once you separate it and you call it chametz, it's no longer yours. It's the property of the Kohanim, the nebulous, undefined group of people called Kohanim. That's not you, and therefore you're not liable for it to be in your home. As far as the Kohanim, well, every individual Kohen hasn't received it specifically. Since no specific Kohen has taken possession of this chametz, no Kohanim are in trouble. And therefore, says Rabbi Yehoshua, that's your best move. And that sidesteps all the issues. Rabbi Yehoshua, furthermore, doesn't like the idea of, like Yehuda ben Becerra, he doesn't like the idea of baking it, because in the rearview mirror, like we said, in retrospect, you ended up having baked things that you're not allowed to bake, that wasn't meant to be eaten on Yom Tov. So that's Rabbi Yehoshua's solution, and therefore he says, I didn't finish reading the whole thing. He says, "Lo zehu chametz shemuzharim alav, but bal yiral and bal yimatze." This was not the chametz that we were muzharim alav, that we were literally means like warned against, but it means forbidden. But bal yiral and bal yimatze, when the Torah said you may not see and have chametz, ella mafrashta. He says rather separate it, umanachta ada erev, put that chametz. Oh, excuse me, I should say, put the dough aside until you'll destroy it on Motzi Yom Tov. Vim hechemitza, hechemitza. And if it ends up leavening, so then it leavens. What's the problem? It's not yours, and therefore it's not forbidden. The Baruch Tanur says the halach is like Rabbi Eliezer, which means that ideally the way to do it is to, if you have such a scenario, is to first bake it and after that be koreshem, declaring what's challah. But indeed, if you're ended up separating it first and now you've got this dough in your hands, so then you can follow Yubin Becerra's suggestion of keeping it in cold water and making sure it doesn't become chametz until after Yom Tov.